So, I'll give you three guesses on what I'm going to speak about today. And like my mom would say, the first two don't count. We're going to talk about redeeming the time. My phone is down to about 7%, so it's probably going to die during the message. So someone flag me down. I don't think I'm going to go anywhere near overtime today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer first. Heavenly Father, just ask for your help this morning and just communicating what you've laid on my heart in a clear and concise way. Father, I just pray that first off that you would use this to change my heart, to make me more of the man that you would have me to be. Father, I know I fall so short in so many areas, and Father, I pray that you would use this to bring up even one in which I need desperately to improve. Father, we just commit this next few minutes and to your care, and Father, pray that you would give us attentive ears to hear what you have to say to us. And Father, I pray that you would be with my brothers also, Bert and Ray, as they're sharing in other assemblies, and that you would give them help as well as they communicate your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you remember the last time I spoke, I was talking about the laying aside of things, laying aside of encumbrances that tend to weigh us down in our life, encumbrances that tend to keep us from serving the Lord as He would have us to. And I challenge each of us, and especially myself, to work on a few things. I went home and started working on some things. One of the first things I did was clean out my closet and took all those clothes out that I hadn't worn in the last 2 years and that I would probably never be able to wear again for one reason or another. It's not because they're out of style. But, and so I did that and I felt good. I've accomplished something. You know, and then I noticed, I guess I wasn't clear in what I did because my wife took them all and she put them all back up again, bless her heart. And so now I guess I have to do that one again. But I also challenged myself on a lot of other things that I could take out of my life, distractions that would give me more time and more energy to serve the Lord. But I found that in order to lighten this load I'm carrying, I think I'm missing a key component. You know, it came to me earlier this week when I was up on my roof during the rain at night that I was missing that key component to be able to work through and unencumber my life. You know, it wasn't a very big leak 2 years ago. Yeah, some people are listening. It wasn't a very big leak 2 years ago. But when my wife said that we had a big puddle on the floor of the upstairs bathroom, my first thought was the dog, but unfortunately it wasn't him. It was the roof, you know. And so, you know, what can you do? How much can you beat yourself up? You know, my wife's first question, is there mold in the walls? I said, well, I'm not going to open it up and look. If you don't look, I won't look. But up there in the night, in the dark, in the rain, fixing the roof. And while I was up there, I'm looking around, and if you've ever been to my home, I encourage you to come out. It's one of those prophetic pieces of scripture that, you know, you need to count the cost before you build it. And maybe I didn't do that too well, but I'm looking on my roof and I can see all these unfinished jobs on the outside of the house. And I'm going, you know, it's been a long, long time since I've been up here, probably 15 years ago. And I'm looking at it, and it was mostly out of sight, out of mind. And I'm up there, I'm coming to peace with my home. And, you know, I'm saying, you know, this is probably not going to happen. See, I can say that because my wife is not here today. By the way, she's gone to Mountaintop, and we'll probably edit this out so she won't have a chance to hear it later on. So, you know, I realize that I should be content to probably leave this for many more years because the one thing that I'm lacking in order to accomplish these tasks I need to do is time. You know, if you have a list to unencumber yourself of stuff and things, and whether it's sorting through your closet or your garage or whether sorting, you know, through your house, it takes time to do that. So what am I going to do? I seem to be time poor. Time poor. I never seem to have enough of it. And often, when I seem to find that I have some time available, I'm too tired to take advantage of that opportunity. You know, each of us has something in common. Even if you don't know the Lord as Savior today, you have something in common with me. You have 24 hours every day. The Lord has given us each 24 hours a day. If I did my math right, that's 168 hours a week. Todd, you check me on that. To accomplish what we need or what we want to get done. Well, what I need to do is create more time. So how do you create more time? Justin knows how you create more time. How can you make more time for yourself? Sleep less. All right. You know, I had a lady, I think I told you before, but I had a lady ask my wife, how does your husband get so much done? She said, Mountain Dew and ibuprofen. So we can create more time for ourselves by going with less sleep, boosting our caffeine levels. We can eat on the run. Maybe we can talk on our car and conduct our business while we're traveling. I would not recommend, you know, for the young people to do that. But these are just temporary fixes that will catch up with us later down the road. So, I know that none of y'all are feeling time deprived. But if you had available more time, what would you use it for? I made a list. If I had more time, I would clean out the inside of our cars. I think I would probably clean the bathrooms. Actually, this is my wife and my list together, but I have been known to do that. We'd wash the dog. We'd keep a cleaner house. We'd begin an exercise program. We'd catch the laundry up. That's that elusive goal, that one that you're almost there, and your kids will bring out, you know, a whole load that's under their bed. I'd clean the garage. I'd fix the leaky roof. I'd finish the house. I clean up a yard. I might even plant some grass in the yard. I take a vacation. I'd spend more time with my wife and my husband. I'd play with the kids. I'd read my Bible more. Spend more time in prayer. I might even do something fun. If you had an extra couple of hours in the day, what would you do with it? A, clean the garage. B, do the laundry. C, sleep. Or D, not do any of the things on the list that we just went over. See, that's what tends to happen. Just because you have more time available, you don't necessarily do the things that need to be done. I'm not saying that I waste a lot of my time. In fact, I think I'm always using all the 24 hours that God gives me one way or the other. But maybe, just maybe, I'm not making the best opportunity of the time that God has given me, either at home or at work or here at the chapel. Our scripture this morning is going to be Ephesians 5. You can be turning there. I'm going to tell you a short story to kind of drive this point in. When Debbie and I first got married, we washed our dishes by hand. Anybody relate to that? Anybody still washing dishes by hand? Okay, there's a few. You know, we did it not because we wanted to be close to each other, but because we didn't have a dishwasher in our first house, and we didn't have a dishwasher in the house that I built. You know, when we had company for dinner, we would spend a couple hours side by side. I'd wash, she'd dry, because water didn't really bother my hands. Didn't really care what they looked like. But we would take the time while we're sitting there side by side at the sink talking about how our day went. You know, what we did. You know, what our troubles were. It gave us a chance to connect. You know, this went on for a couple of years, and then I had the bright idea, true story, of buying my wife a dishwasher for her birthday. I wouldn't recommend it, maybe, as a birthday gift, guys. You know, this way I wouldn't feel guilty when the kitchen was being cleaned up by my wife and I was sitting in front of the TV. Because how hard can it be to load the dishwasher, right? Now, I ask you, did we use the extra time as the dishwasher was washing the dishes to catch up? on our relationship with each other. What do you think? No. No. What did we do? We sat down in front of the TV and were entertained by other couples talking to each other. We watched them instead of talking to each other. So maybe we do have some extra time in our day. Or maybe if you're really disciplined, you don't have a lot of extra time. But I think there are enough of us here that could relate, enough to be reminded of how we are to spend our time. And Paul addresses our use of time here in Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The King James uses these words. It says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean to redeem the time? You know, I don't think I'd ever really looked at it in great depth before. I've said the verse many times, redeeming the time because the days are evil. But, you know, redeeming can mean to buy back. But how can we buy back time? You know, I thought, well, it must mean something other than trying to buy back time. Or other, the song I just sang just said you couldn't get it back. You know, once it's gone, it's gone. But the Greek word used for redeeming here is only used four times in the New Testament. Two of those are used in the same context. The other is in Colossians, where it says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. So what does it mean when we say we need to redeem the time? A commentary that I read said this is a Greek phrase, and the word is about this long, no lie. And it's a metaphor, and Steve can probably relate to this, a metaphor that's taken from merchants and traders who diligently observe and improve the seasons for merchandise and trade. Now, if you're a business person, you might have understood that. I read it five times, and I had to get another commentary to say what that commentary meant. This is what it means. In layman terms, it means someone who's very carefully and systematically makes purchases with the intent to make a profit later. You know, they're buying up the rights to make a profit. You know, it's like buying stocks. That's not something I do. And I'm going to take this out of my pocket because every time I move, it's clicking. Somebody wants to donate a microphone. See me. If you're buying stocks, you're not buying a profit right off the bat. You're buying a right to have that profit when it comes around. You're looking to make the most from your investment. You're buying up the opportunity. You're buying up the opportunity. That's why the New American Standard says, making the most of your time because the deeds are evil. You're buying up an opportunity. I like the English Standard Version. Verse 16 says, making the best use of the time. That's what I want you to leave with today. Are you making the best use of your time? That's the question I've been asking myself. Am I making the best use of my time? So what's the best use of the time that God has given me? 24 hours a day. What should I use it for? You know, it's a question that's worth asking yourself. It might be a question good for husbands and wife to ask each other while they're washing dishes. What is the best use of our time? What's the best use of my time that's spent with my employer, with my family, with my church, and my personal relationship with the Lord? You know, we have an example, I think in Luke chapter 10, if you want to turn there, of the best use of their time. And I don't want to get Dave Cullen. Can you read this? Because my printer ran out of ink on this page. And didn't print all of it. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Yep, Luke 10, 38 through 42.
Serve and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve
Chosen that good part. One of the other translations says that she chose the best part. Making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Mary had redeemed the time that she had. She recognized that it was of more value to sit at her Savior's feet than to be washing the dishes, preparing the meal that Martha was doing, running around. And the Lord acknowledged and commanded her for that. She invested herself in an opportunity that was given her. It's redeeming the time. It says that we are to redeem the time because the days are evil. And how? And how? You know, I think the context here is not looking out for evil, but recognizing that as people, that we have that capacity to, when we have spare time, to waste it. And you know, if you get anyone that has too much time, they're going to get into trouble. If you've had kids, you can vouch for that. If we are not purposeful in making the best use of our time, it is in our fleshly nature to waste the time we have. You know, I see it in my work, unfortunately. You know, I'll get the job done, but the most work that I get done is when I plan the most to do. Have y'all ever noticed that? You know, if I only have two or three things planned for the day, I'll probably just get those two or three things done. If I have 24 things that have to be done for the day, I get all 24 things done. I don't know, it's how it works. I used to have a sign on my desk, and it said, "You'll never know how much you can do until you take on more that you can do." My wife made me put that away several years back because I'm one of those people that tries to take on way more than I should try to do or can do. Mr. Steve has reminded me of that in the past, that you have to say no from time to time. He's going to preach that at my funeral. I'm not suggesting that you overload your schedules so that it will force you to do more, okay? But you have to be purposeful in the way that you're spending your time, and to be purposeful in the way that you could spend your time wisely. Commentator Barnes said, "Redeeming the time means this," and I like the way he uses these words. He says, "To rescue our time from waste." To rescue our time from waste. And to improve it for great and important purposes. We only have one chance. Redeem the time. So what will it cost me? The word redeeming always has a price with it. It's not by chance they use the word redeeming the time, I think, in the King James. They didn't say use the time wisely. They said redeem the time. There is a cost involved in using your time wisely. It's going to require work. It's not going to happen on its own. That's why if I was given a choice to pick four or five things, I'll just continue human nature in what I'm doing, even if I have extra time. It requires discipline, self-control. It requires to make a plan. You know, time, if you've ever thought about it, is a lot like money, all right? Everybody here can tell me where your money goes, I'm sure. At the end of the day, and you look at your checking account and it's dropped this X number of dollars, you know which dollar went where. When you get to the end of the month and you got that number in there, I'm sure you could tell me if I came up to you where the money went for that month. If you ever like me, you might sit back at the end of the day and wonder what happened to it. Where'd it go? I know I started with this amount, now I have this amount, you got to go back and think about it. Well, time is like that. Have you ever got to the end of the day and you're wondering what you did? We're over halfway through the year. Are you wondering how you got here this morning? You know, if you want to save money, you make a budget. Dave Ramsey would say, you got to account for every dollar you spend, right? If you want to save your time, you've got to do some planning. Now, I know that's a bad word for some people. It's a bad word for me. I'm not saying you have to schedule every hour, but you've got to schedule just enough to know what you're going to do for the day. You've got to have goals. You've got to set aside time. You need to schedule those big rocks in your life. You need to make time for your marriage, your wife, for your children. We won't go into the verses that discuss that, but they're in there. You need to make time to do your job and to do it well. Are your kids important? And you schedule family time. Is your husband important? Then you schedule a date. We talked about that the other week. The Prices over there are good about that. They schedule a date to be together. They put it on the calendar. If you don't do it, you'll find yourself one day sitting at home by yourself because the kids have grown and moved out. You're watching TV and your time is gone. Jeff preached a message a few months ago that you can have a saved life and you can have a wasted life. That's what redeeming the time is about. So you don't end up with a wasted life. So you don't have regrets of how you spent your time. You don't come to the end of the day and you have no time and no energy left and you have no idea what happened to it. You want to be purposeful in using your time. You're going to schedule time for worship. It's a great time of worship this morning. I thought the song that we sang in between tied tied that all together. But if worship is one of those big rocks in your life, then you're going to schedule that. You're going to redeem that time. You're going to schedule time for teaching and for fellowship with other believers, for coming to prayer time on Wednesday night, because those are big rocks in the life of a believer. If you don't purpose to take that time, something else will take its place. I've been there. I've seen it. I've done it. Make a plan. Work the plan. It'll keep you focused and on track. There is a cost for redeeming the time. You have to be diligent and make a plan. Plan your time as you would plan the spending of your money. It's going to cost you your independence. Your life and your time is not just for you as a believer. I know that may come as a shock. It's not what we hear. You want it your way? I can't remember where you go now, but you go someplace to have it your way. I've always wanted to live in Alaska. You know, my wife and I discuss this about every week. The draw is to get out of the responsibilities that I have here. You know, whether it's family or friends or work or whatever, we would just build a cabin and our closest neighbors would be 50 miles away. And if a bear ate us, then that's okay. We would be out of touch with the world. We'd be doing our own thing, focusing mainly on day-to-day survival, but that's okay. The lifestyle appeals to me, but I think for a believer, that would be kind of selfish. And I don't think that would be redeeming the time for the Lord. You know, we need to quit looking at our life as being our time. Is it our time? Mine. Yeah, you can pry it out of my cold, dead hands, right? My time. You know, the Lord has given us time. He's given us our bodies. Galatians 2:20 says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Romans 14, verse 7. It says, "For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord, or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." God's time is given to us. It's a gift. He gives us the freedom to use it as we would see fit, just as he gives us our bodies to use them as we would see fit. We're good stewards. We need to be good stewards of our time, of our bodies. We will be held accountable with the time, or held accountable for the time that we've been given. Well, we've talked about God's call for us to redeem the time. Redeem the time, for the deeds are evil. It says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." God asks us to seek out what his will is for our lives. Individually, what I'm supposed to do with my time is not what you're supposed to do with your time. So don't follow after me. Seek the Lord's will and guidance in your life for what he'd have you to do. But it says, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, redeeming the time. We talked a little bit about the cost of redeeming the time, how it's going to cost us discipline, self-sacrifice. We're going to have to realize that our time is not our own to do with as we please. It's on loan from God. And he might call that up before I even finish my last points. But there's a challenge to making the best use of our time. There's the call, there's the cost, and there's the challenge. They all begin with C. I learned that from a DOT class I had recently. I made the mistake of telling the instructor that I really didn't like all the acronyms that DOT had. They like to repeat these letters so they catch in your minds. And it turns out the lady that I said it to was the one that's over that department. So that didn't go too well. Anyway, the call, the cost, and the challenge. Romans 12, if you would turn there. Romans 12, verse 1. "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." Makes it pretty clear right off the bat that our bodies are not ours, and our time is not ours as well. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, his service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, and practicing hospitality. What does the body of the church have to do with redeeming the time? What determines the health, you think, of the body of believers here? What determines the health of the body? Is it the strength of the teaching? Is it the elders that make up a strong body? What determines the strength? Is it dependent on just a few of us? It takes everyone. Everyone. So how does that work? We've got to be at the top of our game to contribute to the body, is my point. We have to all do the part that we've been called to do to the best of our ability. And if we're not redeeming the time, if we're not taking advantage of the opportunities that God gives us, if we're not using our time wisely, if we're not using our time for the best purpose, the body is going to suffer. Whether it's me, or it's you, or you, or you, or you, or you, the body will suffer. Well, maybe it doesn't matter that much. If we just spend an hour on the internet, an hour on Facebook, an hour playing games, an hour watching TV a day, we would be half of what the average time spent in the U.S. is for every man, woman, and child if we just did 4 hours a day. If you go on the internet and you type in wasting time, it'll take you to a site of 50 games you can download that are the top 50 time wasters on the internet and apps for your phone as well. You know, I thought I was going to get some feedback or maybe something spiritual on wasting time, but there's an app for it. If you want to waste time, download it and you can waste your 8 hours a day. You know, if you were here on Wednesday night, you got to hear about Jonathan Peck's trip to Moldova. If you weren't here, I'd encourage you to listen to it. We got it recorded. The bad part about it was that he showed all that was accomplished in 2 weeks in this house in Moldova. It was amazing. You know, if my wife had been sitting beside me, I would still be bruised. Yeah. I'm saying, Jonathan, stop! 2 weeks. 2 weeks. The amount of work that was accomplished by not a large number of men. How did they do it? They redeemed their time. They spent their time wisely. Do you think they were over there with their cell phones texting? You know, here we are. Picture. Wait a second. Let me post. Oh, man, I lost the signal. I'll be back. Wait. It's over here. No, that's not how they operated. You know, did they get on the internet and look and see what's happening on the news? What's happened to the U.S. while we've been gone? No, they were focused men. He went as far to say, can you imagine, that since he was going to a country, a Muslim country, that he spent weeks, I believe he spent months preparing to witness to Muslims. Do you think he did that in between his 2 hours on Facebook and 2 hours on the internet and 5 hours watching TV? I don't think so. I think he's a man that knows how to redeem the time, to make the best use of his time. 2 Timothy 2:15, I think this is the verse that's on a mountaintop. As you head down the hill, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, don't think that you come under the wire because maybe you don't do 8 hours or 4 hours or 2 hours, maybe even one. But maybe in that 30 minutes that you have extra a day, you could put aside the game, the social media, turn off the TV. and spend that time to make a difference for eternity. Galatians 6, verse 10 says, "So then, while we have opportunity," and that opportunity is in the same root, "while we have the time, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of the faith." What's implied that, while we have opportunity, what's implied that we're not always going to have that opportunity? Colossians 4:5 says, "Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time." Speaking to unbelievers there, I think, in the context of that. That we are to use our time to reach to those who don't know the Lord as Savior. Can't think of a better use of our time. Definitely goes above the television. So we may not have, in closing, the ability to create time, but I think we do have the ability to free up time. We have the ability to free up time. I would encourage y'all today, I'm 2 months into my 6-month challenge, and now I realize I'm going to have to free up some time in order to meet my 6-month challenge. That's down to 4 months, in order to accomplish what I need to do in my life. Just recently, I've taken on a class at work that has 300 hours of class time, in class, out of class time, coupled that with everything else, and you know, you're going to have to be a manager of your time if you're going to be successful. Not in man's eyes. I'm not looking to be successful in man's eyes, but I want to hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." We can't create the time, but I believe that each of us can free up some time to serve the Lord. And if you're here today and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, He has given you the time to make that decision. Time is a gift. We each have 24 hours. We each have the time to come to the Lord, and we have the time after that to serve Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that that I would look to seize the opportunity of time in my life to make a difference for You, not for me, that I might be a better husband, a better employee, a better supervisor, a better elder, a better teacher. Father, there's a better worker. There's a lot of room for improvement, as I mentioned in the beginning. But Father, I just pray that as we've looked at Your word, that we would look to be good managers and stewards of our time, that the body here would be healthy, that we would all contribute our part, and that we would be able to lay aside that which entangles us in this world, and that we would each just yearn to hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. And Father, just give thanks for the food that is about to be eaten, and just thank You for all those who have provided for it and for Your blessing that You have showered upon us. And Father, I pray that our conversation would glorify You, and that we would look to encourage one another while there is still time. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.